Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Keith Mayer and Wally Mead are back, and in today's episode, they discuss how you can upgrade to System Center 2012 Configuration Manager Service Pack 1. Tune in as they chat about how you can prepare for SP1 as they demo the upgrade process. Keith, the mic is yours.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us for another episode of TechNet Radio. My name is Keith Mayer, and I'm an IT Pro Technical Evangelist at Microsoft. Today, we're back with Wally Mead, Senior Program Manager from the System Center Config Manager Program Team, to talk about upgrading to Service Pack 1 from System Center 2012 Config Manager RTM. Wally, it's a pleasure to have you back with us again today.
Well, as always, it's a pleasure being here, Keith.
Great. Thanks so much. And as IT pros are thinking about potentially planning for the upgrade for Service Pack 1 for their existing System Center 2012 Config Manager RTM environments, Wally, are there any particular planning or prep steps that they should be working through?
Honestly, this is a whole lot easier of a migration process because you can do an in-place upgrade than it was for you all to move from Configuration Manager 2007 to Configuration Manager 2012, where it was a side-by-side migration. So here it's an in-place upgrade, so that makes it nice and easy. The biggest thing that you'll have to be aware of is in previous releases, being Configuration Manager 2007 and ConfigMan 2012, we use the Windows Automated Installation Kit, the WAKE, for operating system deployment. And we were allowed to redistribute that piece of software with Configuration Manager. So as part of our installation or setup of the site server, we would go ahead and install the appropriate version of the WAKE if it wasn't already there. So it was nice and easy, nothing else you had to do. The big thing now with the Service Pack 1 is that, as we've discussed in previous sessions, the big reason for having Service Pack 1 is to support Windows 8 and Windows Server 2012, including for operating system deployment. Well, Windows 8, Windows Server 2012 no longer uses the WAKE. It now uses the Assessment and Deployment Kit, the ADK. And the downside to that is that we are not allowed to redistribute the ADK with Configuration Manager 2012 Service Pack 1. So the big prep thing that you guys will have to do in preparation for upgrading to Service Pack 1 is to manually remove your installed WAKE from your existing ConfigMan 2012 RTM site and then install the appropriate components of the ADK in order to have them in place before you can do your upgrade to Service Pack 1. But once you've done that, the upgrade is simply you slap in the media, you run setup, you verify your prerequisites, which are for the most part pretty much the same, and then you just do your in-place upgrade.
Wow, that sounds almost too good to be true, an in-place upgrade. That's awesome.
Yeah, people always enjoyed those. We used to have those.
Yeah, definitely. Wally, would you be able to walk us through a quick step-through of the upgrade process?
Absolutely. So here is my Configuration Manager 2012 RTM site, and I just want to point out that it really is the RTM version. So here you can see the build number in the console, and it does say 7711, which is the RTM build number. So this is an RTM primary site. It's a standalone site, but the upgrade is the normal thing for a hierarchy, which you start at your highest point and you work your way down the hierarchy. So the first thing you want to do is run that prereq checker. So I'm just going to run it from command line. So I go to my SP1 downloaded bits, which I have here, and just run prereqcheck.exe. That kicks off our prereq checker, and it's going to tell us my readiness as far as the installation of the software, or in this case, the upgrade from the RTM build we just saw to the SP1 release. And what you're seeing here in the prereq checker are five different messages responding, coming back in, stating that I may not be ready for an upgrade process. And this will finish off the scrolling here. Just did. So let me go ahead and zoom in on these so you can see them a little bit better. So those three that are in the X's the red X type scenario, that one, this one, and this one. Those are obviously, you can see in the status column, those are listed as errors. Errors are going to prevent the upgrade or installation, whatever you're doing. In this case, it is a upgrade process. And you can see those are the three components from the Windows 8 ADK that have to be pre-installed. So you have to install the Windows deployment tools. You have to install Windows pre-install environment, or WinPE, and you have to install USMT from the ADK. And I'll walk you through the installation of that for preparing your sites in just a moment. The other two warnings that you see here related to SQL Server, those you may see those exact same errors or warnings in a RTM environment. And it's just stating that in my specific environment, I don't have SQL Server configured for a limited amount of memory. My default in SQL Server is what SQL Server defaults to, which is unlimited, meaning SQL Server can take all the available memory that it wants to. And that's not a product group recommendation, because SQL Server can starve a site server, configuration manager site server, and not give us enough memory. So we highly recommend that you give us a limited or fixed amount of memory for SQL Server. That second one in their SQL Server process memory allocation is saying that you have not allocated 8 gigabytes of memory for SQL Server. So really what we want you to do is allocate or designate a minimum of 8 gigabytes of RAM for SQL Server and give it a top end or a max amount of value of memory can use, not unlimited. So those are just warnings. They won't affect my installation at all. But those three errors certainly will affect the installation. So to get around that, I'll just leave my prereq checker running. I'll go to my ADK, which I have downloaded and copied over to my site server here, and I just run ADK setup. And click run a couple of times, and this will launch off the ADK setup program. I'll let it install in the default directory. Generally, we recommend that you join the CEIP, but I'm in a virtual environment with no internet access, so it doesn't matter. License agreement, yes, you all read really fast, and I'll let you read that and say, yes, you do accept that. And now here's the list of all the ADK components. We only require those three that popped up in the prereq checker. So I can clear the ACE application compatibility toolkit. We do need deployment tools. We need Windows pre-installation environment. We need user state migration. I can get rid of the volume activation management tool and performance toolkit and SQL 2008 Express. So these are the three components that we need for our installation with Configuration Manager 2012 SP1. Deployment tools, WinPE, and user state migration tool. So once I've selected those, it doesn't matter if you have the rest selected or not. That's fine if you need them. You just click install. And this is in my virtual environment. It's a fairly quick install, so it'll be just a few more seconds. It'll be done. And then we'll go back and rerun our prereq checker, and we should see that those three errors go away. There are a couple other things to be aware of, that in order to manage software updates to a Windows 8, Windows Server 2012 environment, there are a couple of WSUS hot fixes you have to deploy, and our prereq checker will catch those for you. They are specific WSUS updates, and if you haven't got them installed, then the prereq checker will flag those, and you'll have to install those, which I've already got them in my environment. Okay, so I'm all installed. Now we'll go back to the prereq checker. I'll just click run check. We left it running before. And we'll see that those three errors have gone away. I'll just get those two same warnings about SQL Server and the same memory allocation and the same memory unlimited use mode. So there's those two that pop up. And in just a moment, this will all be done as far as its prereq checking. And those three from the ADK have gone away. So that's really the big prep thing you have to do. The operating system version, the SQL Server versions are all pretty much the same as far as the minimum requirements. We do now support Windows Server 2012 as well as SQL Server 2012 for your base site server installation. But we're all good there. So now let's just go ahead and launch off the installation process, which would be a very simple thing to do. We'll just go ahead and run the splash screen. We'll minimize that background. And we'll click install. On the main setup page, after the welcome page, we'll see our options available to us. And you see, in this case, I am already on an existing site server, so I can't do an install of the admin console or the primary site. My options are to upgrade, which is what I want to do, recover a site, meaning my site had a failure, I need to recover it, or uninstall. Well, we obviously want to choose the upgrade installation, which is default, so we'll click Next. We're going to install the evaluation version of the product, unless you have a PID. If you have a product, appropriate product key, you can supply it. We'll do eval version. We'll accept our license agreements. We'll accept the license agreements for the other components that we have. And this is very much just like the RTM installation would be. We have a new set of downloaded prerequisite files, which the default option you saw here was to download interactively. I'm in a virtual environment without internet access, so I'll path it to those SP1-based prerequisite files that I've downloaded. They get validated fairly quickly. You would go ahead and select the appropriate server languages you want to have for your admin console and reports. Notice that there aren't any other available because I'm in a pre-release build, so there aren't any additional server languages available. Same thing for client languages. I only have available to me English at this point in time. And now, normally it would pop you up for your site server site code and your installation path and admin console and a bunch of other questions. Now we're going straight to the upgrade. It says, hey, we're going to do a upgrade. So click Next. It's now going to run the prereq checker just to what we did manually previously. So we didn't have to do it manually. We could have done prereq checker here. It just saved a little bit of time starting it out there without having to go through the whole wizard and finding out we had issues. And we're almost done here. Then as soon as it's validated that those are my only two warnings, then I'll just go ahead and click Begin Install, and then we just sit and wait for the installation to occur. And that, depending upon your hardware, so we're all checked, nothing additional. So click Begin Install. This will go ahead and kick off the installation process. And in your environment, it could take anywhere from 10 minutes to do your upgrade to half an hour, just depending upon what type of hardware that you have. But once you're all done here, you've got a site that's been upgraded from an RTM environment to a Service Pack 1 environment.
Great. Well, that seems very straightforward and very similar process as far as just rolling them through any child sites in the hierarchy that you might have after this one by one. And
Yep. You would start your CAS and work your way down your hierarchy, which, again, if you guys all know ConfigVan 2012 very well, which I know you do, you know that you may not have to have much of a hierarchy at all anymore. So
right,
we're really touting that single site environment or standalone environment. So this may be as much as you need to do in order to get your environment up and running for the site server end of things.
Okay, great. Awesome. Well, and so this is going through the process of getting the site systems, the site servers upgraded to SP1. Once this process completes, how do we approach getting the clients upgraded to SP1 as well?
So yeah, that's a great question. So let's let this finish, and then I'll show you the image once it's installed and upgraded, and then I'll show you a great way of installing your clients.
Okay, awesome. Great.
All right, so here's my site server after the upgrade. It's the same exact image, site server itself. I just booted up an image that I'd upgraded earlier. So now you can see the build number is later. This is an interim build, so it's not one that you guys have access to you, but it's 7796. Remember, previously when we before the upgrade, we checked and it was 7711. So this is the upgraded site server. So all I did was the upgrade process that you saw and then just booted up that image. So back to your question on upgrading clients there, Keith, a great way of doing that, you can upgrade your clients any way you want to. So if your preferred method is software distribution, doing deployments so you can control by collection when they upgrade, great. If you liked using the software update point method through WSUS, fantastic. If you want group policy, logon script, manual, whatever client installation method that you use to install your clients, including client push, you can use to upgrade your clients. Our setup program will recognize, hey, this is a down-level client. We'll go ahead and do an upgrade of that client to the newest version of the client. So all those same traditional methods are still there in place. You can use whatever works for you or all of them as necessary for you. But one cool thing we've done in Service Pack 1 is we've added a new feature which was kind of there in the RTM build, but didn't really work that well. But it works great for Service Pack 1. So if you go to your administration workspace where I am, then you go to Site Configuration and Sites Node where I am to show you your build number. Up on the ribbon, you click Hierarchy Settings. So you have this new node up here called Hierarchy Settings, and it was there for RTM as well. So go ahead and click that ribbon action. And one of the options we have here is Automatic Client Upgrade. Again, we had this tab in the RTM code, but it didn't really do a whole lot for you there. It works great now in Service Pack 1. So if we go to the automatic client upgrade component or tab, and now if I click the checkbox to enable it, a message box pops up and says, hey, you have selected as an administrator to have Configuration Manager automatically upgrade all your clients within your configure time frame. So this is allowing you as the admin, if you don't care how your clients get upgraded, you just want them to get upgraded, you can select this checkbox, you can click OK at this message, and then in this check, this one dialog here, automatically upgrade clients within days, you just go ahead and designate after how many days do you want to have your clients upgraded. So before I explain this, let me go ahead and set this up to 7, which is a fairly common value. So just go ahead and bump this guy up to 7, and I'll zoom back in for you. And now what this is saying is that over a week's time frame, so over a week, we're going to randomly upgrade all of your existing clients from the RTM code to Service Pack 1. Randomly over this time frame. So you have no control over which clients or when. It'll be random distribution of the upgrade process out to individual clients, but which you're not guaranteed because clients can be turned off, etc. But the general thinking is here, you're pretty well set to go ahead and have all of your clients upgraded randomly within a 7-day time frame. So what we do then is we just actually implement a scheduled task on your client computer that says, here's your scheduled task. You go ahead and kick off this task at ABC date and time. And what it's going to do is kick off CCM setup, which will be the SP1 CCM setup. It'll kick off an upgrade of your client computer. We kind of had this functionality way back in the SMS 1.0 through 2.0 days of automatic client upgrades, but it was a feature you had no control over. Clients would automatically upgrade within 24 hours. And a lot of the administrators didn't like that because they couldn't control it, and it flooded their networks, you know, in a 24-hour period. So then we took it away in SMS 2003, and you were in complete control of when your clients got upgraded by doing software distribution or client push, whatever normal methods are. Now we're giving you the best of both worlds. If you want to do automatic upgrades, great. You set the checkbox. You then designate after how many days do you want them to all be upgraded, and you're off and running. You can still upgrade clients through any other methods you want to, and this will pick up those clients that haven't already been upgraded. So a great way of allowing you to upgrade clients in a smooth, efficient manner, because it is randomized by us, just a scheduled task on the client. It'll go ahead and kick off that task, and clients will upgrade if they haven't already been upgraded.
Well, that's great. So that makes it very easy to do the upgrade from a client standpoint. I could see in a lot of environments where it may be a large campus environment, and like you had mentioned, the administrators don't really necessarily care in which order the clients are upgraded. They just want to spread it out over a period of time so that it's not hitting their infrastructure all at once doing all the client upgrades. That's ideal. And it sounds like, if I understood correctly, after that period of time, if there's still clients that maybe were powered off for, in this case, 7 days, the last 7 days, and didn't receive the automatic client upgrade, we could still use any of the other deployment options to push, target those clients that haven't been upgraded yet, get them powered up, do a wake on LAN, for instance, and push the client out through one of the more traditional means. Is that right?
You still could do that, but this will also catch those. So when they do come online, they'll get that scheduled task, and they'll go ahead and upgrade. Should be pretty much immediate since they missed that 7-day cycle. But yes, you could still do your upgrades or any other methods you want to. So it gives you complete flexibility of how and when you get your clients upgraded.
Oh, that's awesome. So even after that 7-day period or whatever period we specify, if the clients boot up later, they'll still have that task that gets pushed down to them. And like you said, it'll probably do it immediately instead of randomizing over a period of time. That's yep. Really great. So I know with a lot of the environments out there with Config Manager 2012, a lot of IT pros are pretty cautious about doing any types of upgrades in production, even simple in-place upgrades like we have here with Service Pack 1. And in a lot of cases, they'll want to do the upgrade within a test environment that replicates their production environment, and then also work through some of the improved capabilities that we've been talking about over the last several episodes of TechNet Radio to get a better feel for how those options may work in their production environment. If they take that approach and they have settings that they're starting to build in their test environment, once they do perform the upgrade in production, is there an easy way to get those settings from their kind of their lab environment into their production environment now?
Yeah, there's a couple of different ways. One of the ways is something we've had built into the product in the RTM code, in fact, and that was the normal exported import. So the design theory here was that you're a environment where you do have a really good lab environment that does mirror your production environment, and you do all your testing in your lab environment. And then you go over to your production environment, and you don't want to have to recreate everything that you did over there. So you have the capability of doing some exporting and importing. So we have some capabilities throughout the product in different areas where you can go ahead and select some objects, and if there is export-import capabilities, you would have an action, a ribbon action up here for export. Let me see if I have any software in here. Do I have an application? No. Package. There we go. I have a package, like USMT. So this USMT package gets created here from the ADK. So with that ADK install as part of the USMT stuff, for the prerequisites, we create this package for you for OSD. So here's this package. Now you can just go up to the ribbon, and you can say export, and that will let you create an exported version of this piece of software, in this case a package. It could be an application, software update stuff, could be some configuration information, and so on. So there is the export capabilities that will dump it out into a zip, a cab, an XML, whatever's appropriate, a MOF file, depending upon the specific object. So we have that. We had that in the previous release of the product. But so there's still that. So you could move from a lab environment to a production environment between the export and import. So you'd export this out, and then you just go ahead and then do a import, and then point it to the appropriate cab, zip, XML, MOF file, whatever it happens to be. So there's that. The other thing that we have, and I think we mentioned this in one of our earlier sessions, is we now have the migration utility that works for a ConfigMan 2012 Service Pack 1 environment to another ConfigMan 2012 Service Pack 1 environment. So as long as your lab environment doesn't use the exact same site code that your production environment uses, then you could build whatever you wanted to in your lab environment, and then you could do a migration from your lab over to your production environment. Again, you have to have unique site codes. And that may be an issue because a lot of people will use the same site codes in lab and production. So if so, then you have to use the export-import. But if not, if you use a different site code in lab environment, then you could walk through a migration process and migrate from your lab-based Service Pack 1 site server over to your production-based Service Pack 1 site server and move objects that way. So either way, it helps you migrate your information that you have from your lab test environment over to your production environment so you don't have to recreate over all your objects.
Oh, that's great. So we definitely have some, sounds like we've got some great improved capabilities with the migration tool as well as the traditional export-import capability if it was mainly a select set of packages or items that we're moving between lab and production. Great. Thanks so much, Wally.
You're very welcome.
Well, thanks for joining us today, Wally, to walk through the upgrade of Service Pack 1 for System Center 2012 Configuration Manager. Really appreciate your time, as always.
You're very welcome. Glad to help out.
Great. And thank you, everyone, as well, for joining us today on another episode of TechNet Radio. Today we've been talking with Wally about the upgrade process for taking your System Center 2012 Configuration Manager RTM environment to Service Pack 1. And what you saw during our episode today is that the upgrade process is pretty streamlined from an in-place upgrade standpoint for both upgrading your site servers as well as having some new automated options for upgrading your clients. And even if you're doing an upgrade in a lab environment and later doing the upgrade in production, you can use the new migration toolkit, the migration tools, to be able to export your settings from lab into production to make it even easier. So we're kind of at that point. Now it's your turn to go out and download the SP1 beta that's publicly available. Start testing it within your lab environment. Plan for your upgrade for when SP1 is fully released. And please feel free to join us for our next episode of TechNet Radio, where we discuss additional new features in Service Pack 1 for System Center 2012. Thanks so much for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you the next time on TechNet Radio.